As I introduce the choirs tonight, in addition to the Brackenhurst Choir, which is a great blessing, they have one of the strongest church choirs, I think the strongest that I know of in South Africa. It's a vision for sacred music, choral music, church music has largely disappeared. I wonder how many Christians even knew that was a category. We live in an age where music is mainly consumed. It's mainly done for entertainment. And it's rare to see sacred music, fine Christian music, done as a ministry in the church and also in correlation with congregational singing. And Brackenhurst has set a great standard for that for many years, and so it's an honor. You'll be seeing a number of them up here with a few Antioch voices as well that we have been delighted to be roped in and honored to join them. And then our main guest for this evening, as you will see in your program there, by the way, Brackenhurst produced the program, and we have just been so blessed. We praise God with our lips and with our lives, as I said, and Tammy and the whole team and Marietta directing the Brackenhurst Choir have put a lot of effort into this, and they've also preparing the music, the songs, and even producing the program. By the way, there's not even going to be a love offering. I mean, if you're really that Baptist, you can hand your money to someone afterwards, but we have been blessed with even feeding these 36 voices. Someone in Antioch said, you will not get them pizza. We will provide them some homemade soup. And I said, yes, ma'am. And so she doesn't want to be mentioned, but one of our eager members came here and then went home and washed up and is having six students at her house tonight too. So we are just so thankful. Many of the Antioch homes as well, having these young people, I think you're going to be really blessed. I've had a great time getting to know some of them. And this Genesis Chorale is from a homeschool association in northern New Jersey. They represent some 20 to 25 different churches. And they have just finished competing in basically the Olympics of choirs, not a homeschool-only event. This is the World Choir Games. It only happens every 2 years, never before in South Africa until now. Last weekend in Pretoria, they competed. These are choirs from all over the world, young and old, all kinds of voices. And they won a silver medal in one of the major categories, the folklore category, and then a gold certificate in the youth category. And they're only performing outside of the other places they visited and the main purpose, which was this World Choir Games. There's only 3 churches that got to have them. I just found out tonight. And we get to be one of them. So how blessed are we? Let's congratulate them. And you're about to see why they won the silver medal. Shall we pray? And as I pray, can I have the first choir come on up? Father, we commit to you this evening. We are thankful for this opportunity. We hear the call from your word to everything that has breath to praise you with all that we are, with all that we have. Lord, your word tells us in you we live and move and have our being. From you and through you and to you are all things. To you be the glory forever. Your word tells us to minister to one another, to sing to you and to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in our hearts to God. In whatever we do, in word or deed, to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to you, God the Father, through him. And so we pray that you'd help us to do so tonight by your Spirit. And thank you for all our brothers and sisters and friends and neighbors who are here. We pray that this would minister your word through song to every heart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No, my strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains.
Despair holds me for ransom. I will feel no fear. There's not a translation in your program, so I'm going to give it. This is Weihnachten by Felix Mendelssohn, and it's from Psalm 98. Rejoice, you people on earth, and praise God. The Savior has appeared as the Lord has promised. His righteousness is revealed to the world. Hallelujah.
Let's praise the Lord. Everybody come on. Put your hands together. Come on and praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. You ought to praise Him. Let's praise the Lord. Yeah. Come on and praise the Lord. He woke you up this morning. Started you on your way. You ought to praise Him. Come on and praise the Lord.
It's been such an honor to be in South Africa. We go home tomorrow night. We've been here since July 5th, and we've seen all different kinds of environments. We've been in the townships. We've been in Pretoria. And it's just been such a rich experience for these students, some of who have never even been on a plane before. So to come for their first trip to South Africa was like the whole year. It was the highlight of our whole year. So we have just loved being here and seeing your beautiful country. And so we would love to honor you. And in the United States, as many of you know,
it's Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace. Oh, excuse me, I'm saying this too soon. I'm very sorry. Okay, Amazing Grace is first. And I'm not even leading it. But Tammy says we should all stand up and sing it.
Sous-titrage Société Radio-Canada. shout and pray and never stop. My soul's been anchored in the Lord until I reach that mountaintop.
My soul's been anchored in the Lord. My soul's been anchored in the Lord. My soul's been anchored in the Lord. In the Lord. In the Lord. My soul's been anchored. Anchored in the Lord. In the Lord. In the Lord. My soul's been anchored in the Lord. My Lord. My soul's been anchored in the Lord. Good Lord. My soul's been anchored in the Lord. Do you love him?
Oh, yes.
Do you love him?
Hallelujah.
Are you anchored?
Oh, yes.
Yes, I'm anchored. Yes. My soul's been anchored in the Lord.
Yes, will you serve him?
Will you serve him?
Oh, yes.
Will you serve him?
Hallelujah.
Will you serve him?
Oh, yes.
God Almighty.
Are you anchored?
Are you anchored?
Oh, yes.
Yes, I'm anchored.
Yes.
My soul's been anchored in the Lord. Hallelujah.
Will you praise him?
Will you praise him?
Oh, yes.
Will you praise him?
Hallelujah.
Will you praise him?
Oh, yes.
God Almighty. Yes, I'm anchored.
Lord, I'm anchored.
Oh, yes.
Lord, I love you.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I'll serve you.
Oh, yes.
Lord, I'll praise you.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
My soul's been anchored in the Lord.
Join us in singing. I don't know how many know how great thou art, but you come in on the last chorus, and if everyone who can stand, when I turn around, it's all our turn, and we'd love to have you join with us on the last chorus of How Great Thou Art.
Sings my soul.
Wow, what a treat. We're not done. We are going to hear from a mass choir, and then we have a compulsory encores in this church. But you can take a seat for a minute, and we are going to hear from God's Word and a closing devotional just for a few minutes to set our hearts to, I trust, fix our hearts on the source of our singing. That's my title for this little closing word, the source of our singing. Other than Judaism and Christianity, name another world religion that's known for its singing. I mean, when have you ever heard of a choir in a mosque? When have you ever overheard joyful congregational singing in a Hindu temple? The reason that singing has such a unique role in our Christian faith is because we have something to sing about. We have a reason to sing, do we not? And I wanted to look at an often overlooked and sometimes puzzling little 4 or 5 verses in Mark chapter 2. We've been meditating on Mark lately in our church and with a workshop coming up here next week. And this is a juicy little nugget in Mark chapter 2. You can listen or turn in your Bibles if you have. Mark 2, I'll read from verse 18. John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and they came and said to Jesus, "Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "While the bridegroom is with them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot fast, can they? So long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast on that day. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, otherwise the patch pulls away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear results. No one puts new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is lost, and the skins as well. But one puts new wine into fresh wineskins." Our Father, thank you for the gift of music. Thank you for the way you have ministered to our hearts through this Genesis chorale and the privilege that is ours to have this foretaste of heaven when every tribe and every tongue will gather around the throne of the glorious Lamb and declare your praise with our utmost potential. What a joy to see young people and their potential harnessed for excellence, for your glory, and their voices lifted in praise. Thank you for all of their hard work and preparation and for us to get a little taste of your glorious gift of song. Teach us now from your word, the source of our song, the truths which we love to sing. In your son's name we ask it, amen. You might be wondering what this text has to do with singing, but I hope to show you quite rapidly tonight. You see, the previous verses that I didn't read, verse 15 to 17, Jesus and his disciples had just had a big dinner party. And a grand old time over at Matthew Levi's place. He's the most newly enlisted disciple, a tax collector. And there were other tax collectors and other sinners, they're outcasts of society, that Jesus was dining with. Why? Because he says there in verse 17, he didn't come for the healthy who don't need a physician, but for those who are sick. I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. And then, in other words, Jesus didn't come to save he didn't come to reward the righteous, he came to save the unrighteous. And these religious leaders then, instead of rejoicing in God's amazing work of rescuing lost souls, instead they reply saying, "Jesus, why aren't your disciples fasting instead of feasting? Why aren't they more sad instead of being so glad? I mean, why don't they join us here in the doldrums? Always singing in a minor key, making sure we look really glum and spiritual." And Jesus answers here with two reasons for Christian joy, two reasons for the source of our singing. First of all, he says, knowing Christ is a wedding, it's not a funeral. And then he's going to say, knowing Christ is about a whole new life, not just an add-on. Look at the text there. First of all, knowing Christ is a wedding. It's not a funeral. Verse 19, Jesus begins with his answer to this probing and pessimistic, joyless question. Verse 19, Jesus says to them, while the bridegroom is with them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot fast, can they? So long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. Weddings were a huge deal for Jews and for the ancient world. As in many traditional societies today, it was not just some little one-hour thing on a Saturday afternoon. And by the way, young people, as you think about marriage, young couples who are here, imagine this. Instead of a private honeymoon, Jewish newlyweds would stay home for the next week while all the friends and family would celebrate with them. Thank you for joining us. That's the phrase here that Jesus uses in verse 19. The attendants of the bridegroom. That's the idea here. The friends or the guests of the bridegroom. So food and wine would have been abundant. Song and dance would have filled the house and spilled over into the streets. And there was actually a ruling of the rabbis that once pronounced in that day, quote, all in attendance of the bridegroom are relieved of all religious observances which would lessen their joy. That would include fasting. I mean, even today, imagine you're an honored guest at a lovely wedding reception, and the bride and groom have that point where they're going to go around to each of the tables for pictures, and they get to your table and notice you haven't eaten a bite. And they ask you, oh no, was it the food? I'm sorry, what happened? You say, no, I'm fasting. I would love to hear the conversation in the car on their way or over the next few days. I'd love to see the look on their face. Really? At our wedding? Verse 20, Jesus continues here. He says, but the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast on that day. Already the shadow of the cross is cast across Jesus' ministry. All that he would say and do was aimed at one lonely hill outside Jerusalem where he would die for sinners. And for three long, dark, agonizing days where he would be taken away, rudely snatched from his disciples. And Jesus is preparing his followers and us for the Calvary road. You see, joy comes when Christ comes and joy leaves when Christ leaves. Why? Why does Jesus answer his accusers in this way? You see, he knew what was true both then and now. When you fail to recognize who Christ truly is and why he actually came to earth, you will fail to rejoice. You will be joyless. It's only when you know Christ as your groom and as your friend, it's only when you know the Lord Jesus as the lover of your soul, only then can you have true and lasting joy and know the reason for our song. I love to see it on so many of these young people's faces, isn't it, this evening. It's only when you know that because of Christ and his cross, because of sin now forgiven and guilt removed, that you are right with God, that you're headed for heaven, then your joy is unshakable, the Bible tells us. Romans 14, verse 17 sums it up well. The kingdom of God is not eating or drinking or abstaining from, you could say, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Christ came to give us gladness, not sadness. Too many Christians look like a cover photo for the Book of Lamentations. What a joy to know the tomb is empty. Christ has risen. Jesus is alive. He has poured out his Spirit. The Comforter has come. Christ is present right here, right now, by his Spirit, through his word, in his body, the church. It's a wedding, not a funeral. The bridegroom has come, and we can rejoice, and we can sing. We're going to do a little more singing. Jesus would go on and later say to his disciples there in the upper room the night before he was crucified. John 16, you have grief now, but I will see you again and your heart will rejoice and no one will take your joy from you. And on that first Easter Sunday, the risen Lord would declare to them and to all of us, behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. And from Acts 2 onward, yes, Christians can fast and do mourn at times. But the dominant note of the church is joy. Whenever Christ is present with his people, there's joy. No matter the circumstances, no matter your health or your wealth, the joy of the Lord will be your strength and will be your song, even in the night, even in the midst of the deepest sorrows. Secondly, Jesus answers not only that knowing Christ is a wedding, not a funeral, but also look at these next two verses just briefly. Knowing Christ is a new life. It's not an add-on. Look at the picture there in verse 21. He says, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the patch pulls away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear results. Do you get the image? You're sporting your favorite cloak. It's starting to show its age, but you can't bear to part with it. It fits you so nicely. You thought you'd just instead do a little self-tailoring and just a quick patch-up on a few tears. And then it rains, and you're outdoors, and the new patch gets wet and starts to shrink and pull away from the rest of the garment. Rip! Suddenly, you've got a little extra air conditioning in that outfit and a little more ventilation than you expected. You would have been much better off with a whole new cloak. Instead of just window dressing or cosmetics, it's not time for reforming, but for transforming, a whole new start. It's not a time for renovating, it's a time for replacing. What did Jesus say to Mr. Religious Nicodemus in John 3? Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again. And then the final verse, 22, Jesus makes the same point with a different metaphor. Verse 22, no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise the wine will burst the skins and the wine is lost and the skins as well. But one puts new wine into fresh wineskins. In other words, Jesus is asking them, and he's asking you and me here tonight, friends, are you an old bag? Are you a new wineskin? Churches are filled with spiritual, religious old bags that are bursting. This explains why so many churches today are filled with people but not changed lives. Why there's so much churchianity but so little of true Christianity. So much outward religion but so little inward transformation. Why? One word, syncretism. Two words, worldly churches. Cultural Christianity, golden calf religion, claiming to serve God on our own terms, not on his terms. A veneer of Christianity, but still pagan to the core. Jesus rebukes that here. When a person's truly converted, they don't just mix in some of Jesus to their old life. They don't just tack on church to their old ways, just patch up their bad life with some good deeds and some improved behavior and some new habits and some anger management and whatever. Just adding Christ to their own selfish agenda. Sadly, that's what so much of the church growth movement has done, and the ruin and damage and hypocrisy are everywhere. No, Christ says, true biblical conversion is not adding Christ to anything in our life. It's surrendering all that I am to all that he is. Bringing all that I am so that he can replace me and make me new. New wine, new wineskin. When the Lord Jesus calls the lost, he calls them not to reform, but to repent. To repent and believe the gospel. To turn from sin and self. To forsake all your old ways. To hate that self-centered life you've been living. To cry out to God to make you new, to be born again, to be radically changed from the inside out. To say, Lord, replace my old bag with your new wineskin. Give me a new heart. Change my nature so that I can hold the new wine of your joy and your gladness and your spirit. It's like the first disciples in Mark 1. They leave your nets by the shore. Leave everything behind and follow Christ. Follow him in such a radical way that other people look at you like they did when the paralytic was raised in Mark 2, and they said, we've never seen anything like this. We've never tasted wine like that. What a radically changed life. If any man be in Christ, the old is gone, the new has come. It's not a wedding. Sorry, it's not a funeral. It's a wedding. It's not adding on. It's a whole new life. Close with this. Robert Ingersoll. He's one of the 19th century's most vocal enemies, most notorious opponents of Christianity and the gospel. He was nicknamed the Great Agnostic. When Ingersoll died, these words were included on the printed funeral program at the bottom. There will be no singing. There will be no singing. Sad, but honest. That's right, because there's no reason to sing until you know your sin's forgiven. Until you've received the Lord Jesus Christ and allowed him to make you new, then you cannot help but sing. Let's pray. As your heads are bowed, I urge you, If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, we would love to help you. Any one of us up here in the choirs, myself afterwards at the door, this church, if you don't have a Bible teaching, gospel preaching church where you worship, we're here every Sunday, 8 a.m., 10 a.m., 6 p.m. Get on your face before God, even this very night, and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Make me new. Give me real joy found in Jesus Christ alone because of his cross. Thank you, Father, for this special evening. In your Son, our Savior's great and joyous name we pray. Amen. Would the Mass choir please come up for King of Glory, Psalm 24. We hope you'll be blessed.
Is
All right. So Tammy said I can't just be a seminary lecturer and say you're dismissed. So I had to come up with something better. So I think the Genesis Chorale, I know they have more in their repertoire that we haven't heard. I'm sure we can squeeze one more out of them because I have the remote to the gate. So, sound good? Bye. So yeah, everyone else can step down. And Genesis, I'm sure Auntie Beth, as we would call you here, Mrs. Prinz. Did you know she has been leading homeschool choir, this one, Genesis Chorale, I believe, right? Not these same kids, but for 30 years. She's been teaching a homeschool choir for 30 years in the same district, year after year, training these young voices. So I haven't seen official permission. I'm sure you've got something. All right. Thank you, Eve.
We don't have the same idea. I have out of this group, we have 17 seniors. So they're asking me to sing the Irish Blessing. So we're going to sing the Irish Blessing for my 17 seniors, who this is their last concert of their high school career.
Amen. Thank you. Good night.